On April 3, 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. found himself in Memphis, Tennessee, to lend support to a sanitation workers' strike. The strike focused on protesting the substandard working conditions of the city's sanitation workforce after two Memphis garbage collectors, Echo Cole and Robert Walker, were crushed to death by a malfunctioning garbage truck. The night of the 3rd, King lay resting and sick at the Lorraine Motel in downtown Memphis, while his team arrived at a mass meeting at Mason Temple. The place was packed to the gills. King's right-hand man and best friend, Reverend Ralph Abernathy, called King and told him that the crowd had come to see him and would not be satisfied unless he made an appearance. Tired, both physically and mentally, King decided to go. That night, King would deliver his final speech.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
The next day, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was taken from the world by an assassin's bullet, and the world wept.
When my life is almost gone.
Since that tragic day, the popular stories we tell about King have perhaps painted a rosier picture than the realities of the time. A new HBO documentary called King in the Wilderness seeks to illuminate the difficulties King faced in his later years. We spoke with Trey Ellis, executive producer and principal interviewers for the documentary.
When we talk about I Have a Dream speech and his public early successes, he's surrounded by fans and he's really seen, he wins a Nobel Peace Prize and he felt like he could do no wrong. When we pick up our film, when all that's over, we call it King in the Wilderness because he was so besieged on all sides, including from his own inner circle. He was so bold and sort of ahead of his own team that they kept second-guessing him, and they would say, you can't stop your Chicago march to go to the March Against Fear in Mississippi. And he says, oh, you have to. There's injustice here. You can't stop this Poor People's Campaign to go to Memphis and support the sanitation workers. And he says, they're in need, and we have to go there. They said, you can't come out publicly against the Vietnam War because you'll lose Johnson's support and the support of some of your financial backers. And he said, I'm a man of peace and nonviolence. I can't be hypocritical.
Because King is so commonly idealized, many forget his humanity.
I wanted to take him off a pedestal and to make him through the eyes of his friends. And then when he's assassinated, you mourn his loss in ways I think that we had forgotten. What I really want to happen is after that, that we will all become, instead of sad after the end of this film, we will be energized. We say, well, this is a real man. This wasn't a saint. And look at what all he did with almost no resources at the end of the movement, especially once he turned against the Vietnam War. So we today, with social media and all the skills that are all the tools at our disposal, have no excuse but to fight.
There are many lessons that today's activist movements can learn from King and the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s.
You see that it's easy to fall into cynicism, but he stayed hopeful, and he kept his head down and kept doing the same hard work of nonviolent organizing. Even when the media turned against him and his friends turned against him and his enemies were stronger than ever. So we see that sense of massive public action and of appealing to our better angels really had this amazing transformative effect that won the civil rights victories, that inspired the women's movement, that inspired the gay and lesbian and other transgender movements, that inspired the Chicano and Native American movements. And we just saw it very recently. It was inspiring the young people to protest lax gun laws.
The many activist movements so prevalent today, however, are not as interested in having a single iconic leader like King.
You can't wait for a leader to come save you. You have to make your own change, and you have to be that change. Hopefully that message comes through, that Dr. King wasn't a perfect man. He just worked super hard. That if we all keep moving forward in our own separate ways and together, we can make some change. Well, that's more powerful than... I want to empower people by watching this film, as opposed to a false sense of hope and to wait for someone else to solve their problems.
We'll be done. Trouble of the world. Trouble of the world. Trouble of the world.
This is Jason Gilmore reporting from King's Road for Utah Public Radio.